Thank you very much, and what a wonderful introduction, I must admit to you. He gave it just like I wrote it. My name's Steve Beshear, and I used to be somebody. I was governor of Kentucky from 2007 to 2015, and I want to welcome you to Louisville. And yes, it's not Louisville, and it's not Louisville. It's Louisville. And while you're here, there's so much to enjoy, but I do hope that in particular, you get to sample that brown liquid that we are so famous for, Kentucky bourbon. You know, 95% of the world's bourbon is made right here in Kentucky. The other 5% is counterfeit. So don't go near it. You know, we have 4.3 million people that live in Kentucky. We have over 6 million barrels of bourbon aging in Kentucky right now. So as we Kentuckians like to say, that's one for each one of us, and then we'll share the rest of it with the world. I also come this morning with some good news and some bad news. The good news is that I received some great advice from my father very early in life when he said, "Steve, the best speech is a short speech." The bad news, my dad was a Baptist preacher. Oh, I see. There are some Baptists in the room. I never heard him take his advice one single time. But I'm going to follow that old adage of don't do as I say, do as I do, or don't do as I do as I say, and try to keep this relatively short and leave some time for some questions. But I want you to go with me on a journey here for a little bit. Back about 7 years ago in Kentucky. And I'm going to talk to you about what happened in Kentucky when the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010. What we did about it, what the results were, and then that big question, what's next? So first of all, if this technology works, let me tell you just a little bit about Kentucky. We have 120 counties. We're a relatively poor state. Our median income is only about $43,000. 4.3 million Kentuckians, as I told you. And this last one is of particular relevance. We have abysmal health rankings. Here's our health status in 2012. 50th in smoking, 40th in obesity, 43rd in sedentary lifestyles, 41st in diabetes, 48th in poor mental health days, and 49th in poor physical health days, 50th in cancer deaths, 49th in cardiac heart disease, 43rd high cholesterol, 48th heart attacks, 44th in annual dental visits. What a picture. And unfortunately, Kentucky didn't reach that status just last week or last year. But we've been about there since they started keeping the statistics. So in 2010, the Affordable Care Act passed. And quite honestly, going back even further to 2007, when I got elected governor, if you had told me then that when I came out of office 8 years later, I would be known as the healthcare governor, I would have said, "You're crazy." Why? Very simple. Healthcare is so complex, so big, so costly, that virtually no state has the resources in and of itself to do a heck of a lot about it. Yes, we moved the needle in small ways, and I did. At the beginning of my term, we expanded our CHIP program, our K-CHIP program, to include more children. And we did things like that, which were great and were beneficial. But in terms of moving the needle in a big way, of making a sea change in healthcare, no way. And then in 2010, along came the Affordable Care Act, and it simply dropped into my lap. So, what do we do about it? Well, setting the stage a little bit, in 2010, President Obama had about a 30% approval rating in Kentucky. So you know what my political advisors told me to do about it? Run, and not toward it, away from it. Don't touch it with a 10-foot pole, because if you embrace that, then it'll take us all down. But you know, I always followed the theory that good government is good politics. Now, I know that's kind of unusual, but it's true. And if you do the right thing, the politics will take care of itself. But if you're governor of a state that looks like that, and you've got the opportunity to change the course of your state in healthcare, to make sure that every single Kentuckian, for the first time in history, has access to affordable, quality healthcare, what do? That one's easy. And that's what we did. We decided to fully embrace the Affordable Care Act, in spite of the fact that the word Obamacare was a curse word in Kentucky by that time. Now, we did it very quietly for a while, because I also followed sort of a simple two-step rule in decision-making as a politician. Number one, try to figure out what the right thing to do is. And then number two, try to figure out how to do it and survive. And so that's what we did. We fully embraced the Affordable Care Act, but we moved very quietly. As you all know, when it was passed in 2010, lawsuits were immediately filed, and it started working its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But the federal government made millions and millions of dollars available in planning money, and we took every dime we could get our hands on. Now, I had two decisions to make if we were going to do this. Number one, do we have a state-based exchange, or do we go with the federal exchange? That one was a pretty easy decision, because all of our stakeholders, all of our professionals, all of our consumers, all wanted to have a state-based exchange, because we all felt like that we could design one that would fit our people better and that our people could understand better than just taking a cookie-cutter approach, which the federal exchange was going to be. So we took all that planning money and we started planning. And we brought in our vendor. We surrounded our vendor with our Medicaid people, with our insurance people, and with the professionals in the state. And we checked and we rechecked and we tested and we retested. Still, on October 1st of 2013, I think it was, when everything was to go live at midnight, we basically crossed our fingers, said a prayer, and threw the switch. And ours worked. Amazingly, ours worked. As you all know, the federal government's crashed. Kentucky's worked, and all at once. We were the model of the nation, simply because ours worked. That was kind of nice. I mean, we were on nightly news, nationwide. Kentucky's exchange is working. I even had my Republican friends coming up to me and saying, I don't agree with what you did, but damn, I'm proud of being a Kentuckian right now. Did you see us on nightly news tonight? Now, the other part of the decision was a tougher decision. Do we expand the Medicaid program? to 138% of the poverty level. Now, it wasn't hard in terms of what was the right thing to do. I knew what the right thing to do was. Yes, we need to expand it. But the critics had a valid question. Can we afford it? What's this going to do to our budget? And of course, they were all saying, we're going to go bankrupt. We can't do this. We can't, it's not sustainable. It's not affordable. So, before I made that decision, I brought in PricewaterhouseCoopers, this small little actuarial firm, you know, that does work around the world. And I said to them, look, I need you to take a look at this for me and make some projections and tell me to the as best you can, if I expand Medicaid, what's it going to do to us? What's it going to do to my budget? They took about 6 months. And then they came in, sat down across from me, and said, Governor, you can't afford not to do this. Here's what they found. They said, over the next 8 years, there's going to be about $15.6 billion of new money infused into your economy because of expanded Medicaid. You're going to create about 17,000 new jobs over the next 8 years. You're obviously going to protect Kentucky hospitals from the impact of cuts in indigent care funding, and it's going to have an over $800 million positive budget impact on your state. Well, on that basis, I announced that we were expanding Medicaid, and we did. What happened? There it is. This is Kentucky before we implemented the ACA. The darkest red counties have more than 20% of its population uninsured. The next one, 17 to 20. You get into the orange, 14 to 17, the yellow, 11 to 14, and as you can imagine, the blue is the best. You know, that's UK. We picked that on purpose. But this is what we had. We had over 20% of our people uninsured. 12 months later, uninsured. 18 months later, virtually all of that was blue. Just to kind of compare, I love that map. You know what? When you're talking about evidence-based decision-making, there it is. How do you argue with that? But politicians do. They'll deny that, and they still deny this, even here in Kentucky. Oh, we can't afford it. It won't work. Well, it worked, that's for sure. But a year after we implemented, and you saw this map, they were still saying, my gosh, this is not sustainable. It's not affordable. It's going to bankrupt us. So I brought in Deloitte Consulting, another one of those small little actuarial firms from around the world. And I said, okay, here's the PwC report, the PricewaterhouseCoopers report. I said, now, we have a year's actual numbers. So I want you to take those actual numbers and I want you to reproject and tell us where we are and where we're going. So they took about 6 months and they came back in and said, well, we hate to tell you, but PricewaterhouseCoopers was wrong. They were not optimistic enough. They told you that you're going to create 17,000 new jobs over 8 years, about $15 billion into the economy. Well, guess what? You've already created 12,000 actual new jobs in the first year. And you're going to create about 40,000 overall in the next 8 years. You already have almost $3 billion in new revenues in the first 18 months infused into your economy, and that's going to be about a $30 billion figure over 8 years. And again, you will have a positive impact on your budget. That's evidence-based. There are some that still won't admit it, but that's what happened in Kentucky. So economically, how in the world do you argue with this? Great day. This is the best job creator I could find over that short of a period of time. But you know, that's not the only thing that we need to look at. I knew that I needed this to convince some folks that always look more at the economics than at the human aspect of it. But what about the human aspect of it? What kind of impact has this had in Kentucky? Well, as you all know, it's hard to see health outcomes realized in a short period of time. You know, you're going to see the effect of this over the next generation. But there are some indications of what is going on out there in Kentucky. Here's the impact. Our uninsured rate dropped from 20% to 7.5% in about 18 months. Now, here's one that you ought to be interested in. Uncompensated care rate. Before we implemented the ACA, it was about 25% in Kentucky. It's now less than 5%. Now, maybe folks aren't getting paid what they should be paid, but at least they're getting paid something now for the work that they do. Harvard School of Public Health did a study comparing Kentucky and Texas. Texas didn't expand Medicaid. And they found that low-income Kentuckians are in better health, more likely to have a doctor, to have their chronic disease or condition treated, and to have been screened for things like high blood pressure or high blood sugar and high cholesterol. This is what I love. Because this is the business that you all are in. You know, family practitioners are on the front lines of the delivery of health care. You, more than anybody else, and the folks you teach, more than anybody else, are the folks that see our people every day for everything from sore throats and earaches to diagnosing chronic conditions, to teaching people how to take care of themselves and manage their chronic conditions, and dealing with life and death. You do the whole spectrum of things. And you all are going to be the future of healthcare delivery in this country. There's no question in my mind about that. But preventive care is the future in so many ways. Finding these chronic diseases and conditions before they get so serious that then we end up paying for that last 6 months of life, which is the most expensive 6 months that anybody goes through. Well, here's what happened with screenings in Kentucky. Just in 1 year, breast cancer screenings went up 111%. Cervical cancer screenings, 88%. Colorectal cancer screenings, 108%. Preventive dental services, 116%. Physical exams up 187%. Cholesterol screenings 111%. Flu vaccines up 143%. Diabetic screenings up 55%. That's what's going on in Kentucky. And I would say to you elsewhere, where people now have access to good, quality, affordable health care. So right there is the future in this country, if we'll just pay attention to it. One other thing I want to mention before we move on about why the Affordable Care Act is so important. You all probably know this. This is all the 10 essential benefits that were put in the act that every insurance policy sold in the United States and all of the Medicaid programs have to cover. Number five, mental health and substance use disorder services, including behavioral health treatment. The opioid crisis, folks, and you see it every day. And it is a crisis, and it is a big crisis right here in Kentucky. It hit here a little earlier than it hit in many places. But when it hit with a vengeance. We first saw it in the form of pills, legal prescription drugs. Many of them coming out of our medicine cabinets. And I finally was able in 2012 and 2013 to convince the legislature to attack that problem in a vigorous way. We passed some pretty tough legislation. We ran the pill mills out of our state. We required all prescribers to use our electronic monitoring system to stop the doctor shopping going from this doctor and then around the corner to the next one to get the same prescription for OxyContin and oxycodone and all of the other prescription drugs. We upped our education, both of our public and of our prescribers, about prescribing. And we upped our enforcement procedures. And you know something? We were pretty successful. We really saw a big decrease in the availability of the pills. The main reason we knew we were so successful is because heroin and fentanyl popped up. Because when people couldn't get those pills anymore, this was on the street, and it was cheap. And it's killing people. It is killing people. Last year, I think we had 1,400 deaths in Kentucky from overdoses. And that continues to rise. But the good news is that because of the coverage, for the first time, of addiction services, we've seen the number of people getting those services go up 700% last year. Went up from something like 1,500 people to 11,000 people in just 1 year. So if for no other reason, we can't go back and take this kind of coverage away from Kentuckians and Americans. Now, the $64,000 question, what's next? And the answer to that is, nobody knows. What have we seen? Well, since 2010, the critics spent 6 years doing everything possible to torpedo the Affordable Care Act. They started defunding the risk corridor payments and other types of financial supports. And obviously one of the pillars of the Affordable Care Act was the recognition that when this is first implemented, for the first 5, 7, 8 years, you're going to have a whole bunch of sick people entering the system. And insurance companies can't just absorb all of those people and still make a living without raising their premiums. And so those risk corridor payments and other financial benefits in that plan were in there to cushion the insurance companies over that transition period. And, you know, if you want to know why there's uncertainty in the marketplace right now, it's very simple. If you start pulling out all of the supports and helps in this law and you yell repeal and replace for 6 years, what is a CEO of an insurance company going to do? You know, they're there in the end to make money. You know, they've got to make money for their policyholders or their shareholders. And the one thing they hate is uncertainty. You know, you tell me what the plan is and how it's going to be for the next 10 years, and we'll figure out what to do and how to write policies and how to make sure our bottom line is okay. But if we don't know what's coming, and we don't know from this month to next month, much less this year to next year, what's going to happen, we're going to sit on the sidelines. We got to wait and find out what's going to happen. So there's where the turmoil in the marketplace has come from. And I would submit to you, if we ever get our heads together and start acting like human beings instead of politicians, you notice sometimes those are mutually exclusive, I think, then we could figure this out. But there's where the uncertainty is coming from. And, you know, for 6 years it was repeal and replace. And then, guess what? The dog caught the car. All at once, folks who had been yelling repeal and replace and never had given 10 minutes thought to what replace meant, because they never thought they'd have to. Oh my God, we're in charge. What do we do now? Well, what we do now, apparently, is race around and not give a lot of thought. And for God's sakes, let's don't get everybody in the room and talk like, you know, educated people about how we solve these things. That would just be asking too much. And let's don't cross the aisle. We can't talk to each other. That's a no-no. And so four bills, you all know this, four bills have gone through, have been defeated. Why? Because in the end, this complicated thing that 90% of Americans really don't have much idea about, but they are starting to wake up a little bit, because all at once they have something, and this is kind of nice. It reminds me of when we were first implementing the Affordable Care Act in Kentucky. Well, one of the things we did, we called it Connect, KY for Kentucky, NECT, and we were connecting people with health care. It was also a way of not calling it Obamacare. And we had this booth at the state fair, and this farmer standing there in his overalls was talking to one of our ladies that was signing people up, and they were signing him up. And so I just kind of stood back, and I was listening to the conversation, and she was telling him all about it. And he said, "Man, this is great. This is a lot better than that Obamacare." Well, she signed him up. He walked off. I walked over. I said, "Did you tell him?" She said, "No. He'll find out soon enough." But what's happened is that, yes, I mean, in a lot of our states, a lot of people don't like President Obama. But all at once, they've got this health care that, while it may not be perfect, all at once, they can take their kids to the doctor. They can go get screened. They can go find out they've got this chronic condition and then figure out how to manage it. And, hey, I kind of like this. Now, you know, during the presidential election, when Trump was running and saying, "Now, do you like this horrible Obamacare, or do you want something bigger, better, cheaper, more expansive, better coverage?" And everybody says, "Well, I'll take that." But of course, what has happened is when you actually put a bill up, every one of them, which threw about 20 million people off of health care up against the Affordable Care Act, all at once people said, "Oh, wait a minute, I think I like this one." So people are beginning to become educated enough, and they still don't like Obamacare. They don't like President Obama, but they want health care. And they want affordable, accessible health care. And so that's why you saw in these town hall meetings that these congressmen and congresswomen held for a while, there was this outpouring of people, both Republicans and Democrats. And they all looked these folks in the eye and said, "What are you doing? You taking my health care away from me? Oh no, we're going to give you something bigger and better." Oh, that takes it away from 20 million people? That's bigger and better? So, you know, we've really got a lot of things in the mix right now. Now, at the end of this week, maybe today, if you know, they may be passing a tax plan that repeals the individual mandate. So they keep trying. And you know, the amazing thing is it's still standing. They shortened the sign-up period this time and tried not to say anything about it so that people wouldn't know it. And millions more signed up this year than last year. So people are coming to the realization that, hey, we deserve affordable health care and we want it. And I don't know how to do it. I don't know what's best, but I want to keep my health care. So it's going to be interesting over the next few months to see how much ideology can overcome a majority now, I think, of Americans who are going, ooh, don't go there. Maybe change something, may make it better, but don't go there. Because after all, folks, when you, the bottom line of this shouldn't be political. This is about human beings. This is about somebody being able to take their kid to the doctor or to get diagnosed with something and be treated for something without fear that they're going to be bankrupt. That's what this is about, and it applies to Republicans and Democrats alike. They mentioned, I would have to do this, my book. And it's entitled People Over Politics for a reason. Because that's not what's happening right now. But that's the way government is supposed to work. Yes, we're political. We get out there and fight like dogs and cats in these elections. And that's fine. But when they're over with, we ought to be able, and I was able for 8 years as governor here in Kentucky with a Republican Senate and a Democratic House, I was able most of the time to get those folks to sit down together and remember that we were Kentuckians first and Democrats and Republicans second. Because we were able to do that, we got a lot of stuff done. That's what's got to start happening in Washington, D.C. And how's it going to happen? I'm looking at it. Folks, I know you can all answer this question. What is every politician in Washington, D.C.'s highest priority? To get reelected. Man, that was easy, wasn't it? And so you and others have to face them up with the reality that we're going to hold them accountable for what they do. You know, particularly in Washington, it's so far off from where most of them are from, and they're used to coming back home, sending out the mailers with the talking points that make us all feel good, going up to Washington, and they're out of sight, out of mind, and doing whatever they're told to do for the most part up there, then coming back and not telling us about it. We've got to start holding these people accountable, because if they feel threatened, with losing, guess what? They become a lot more responsive. And the way you do that is to communicate with them and also, if necessary, to close your checkbook to them. And if all of us will start doing more of that across the board and across the aisle, both Democrats and Republicans, maybe, just maybe, we can get those folks to put people over politics again. Thank you all very much for having me.